despondent. But nay, far from it. For I have witnessed divine justice now, and am blessed in the glories of those things most valuable, the truest friends and family anyone could know. With open eyes and open hearts we go, the companions of the hall, and well aware of the rhyme of history, and determined that those sad notes will give way to triumphant bars and soothing melodies of hope and justice. The world is chaos, but we are order. The world is shadow, but we are determined to shine as light. Once, not long ago, I had to coax my former companions to good deeds and selfless acts. Now I am surrounded by those who drive me to the same. For even the too often dark truth of the rhyme of history cannot overwhelm the unceasing optimism that there is something more and better, a community for all, where the meek need not fear the strong. We'll find our way. And those lesser rhymes will find discordant notes, as with this lich Regis dragged upon us, this ebon-soul creature who thought himself beyond us. Well, this was part of the play, and a part expected, had we looked more carefully at our halfling friend, had we remembered the truth of Rumblebelly, that same Regis who brought upon us one day long past the darkness that once was Artemis and Treri. Once was, I say. And so we now look more carefully as we tread, for with Regis, there is something about him, an aura, a mannerism perhaps, or a willingness to take a chance, often foolishly, that throws a tow rope to trouble. So be it. Perhaps, as the old saying goes, that is part of his charm. He drags the shark to its doom, I say. Drizzt Do'Urden. Chapter 15. The Home of Homes.
Well, Elf, if you got any ideas, now would be the time to spit 'em out,
Brunner said to Drizzt as they stepped out of the mushroom-capped boat onto the small muddy beach before the underground castle wall and open doorway of Gontalgrim. The whole of this large cavern was dimly lit by natural lichen, and around the makeshift boat, even more so by a minor light spell Catty Bree had cast on a small stone that she had picked up before entering the long tunnel leading to this place. Wulfgar held the craft steady with one strong arm, using his other as a railing to help his companions clamber out. As Brunner moved to the front lip of the raft, the huge man easily lifted him over the remaining splash of water and deposited him on dry ground. Shaking his hairy head, Brunner glanced back at him.
As strong as he was last time, the dwarf muttered.
When I saw Puent in a cave long ago, he was rational, Drizzt replied to the dwarf. Perhaps there remains enough of Thibbledorf Puent for us to coax him along to a priest that will alleviate his pain.
Ain't so sure of that, said Brunner. Puent was back and forth when I seen him, cheering and snarling, sometimes the friend, sometimes the monster. He was keeping control, out of respect for me and the throne, I'm guessing, but just barely.
I have the scroll, Catty Bree said as she too came onto the beach, guided and lifted by Wulfgar's strong hand. And Regis gave me this. She held up a small sapphire.
Not much of a prison, compared to the one ye caught the lich in, said Brunner.
Will it work? Drizzt asked.
It's the best I have,
Regis answered, pushing aside Wulfgar's offered hand and hopping easily from the boat. He brushed the sand and water from his fine clothing, straightening his trousers as he went.
Then if it needs to do, it needs to do, Brunner decided.
The four continued to chatter as they moved along, but Wulfgar, taking up the rear, didn't join in and hardly listened. With his great strength, he dragged the giant mushroom-cap raft from the water and up onto the beach, then hustled to catch up to his companions as they entered the grand upper hall of Gontalgrim. This place was not designed like Mithril Hall, Wulfgar noted immediately, for its first room was huge indeed, unlike the myriad tunnels that led to any significant chambers in Mithril Hall. Conversely, Drizzt had described this first hall as the crowning jewel of Gontalgrim's upper levels. Despite those obvious differences in architecture, the barbarian couldn't escape the sense of déjà vu, a feeling as strong as any memory that he had been an actor in this play before. He remembered vividly that long-ago day when the troupe had first entered Mithril Hall, when Brunner had gone home. Wulfgar felt a twinge at the back of his knee, a pain of memory alone, he knew, for the troll's clawed hand that had dug in there in that previous adventure had done so in an entirely different body. But this place smelled the same to him, as if the ghosts of dead dwarves left a tangible scent, and his mind danced back across the decades, to that other place and time and body even. He shook the memories away, turning back into the situation around him. Drizzt, Catti Bree, and Regis stood by the wall of the chamber just to the right of the door. Catti Bree had cast a greater magical light, illuminating the area more brightly, and Wulfgar noted an emaciated corpse, a woman's shriveled body stripped naked and brutally torn. Catti Bree blessed it and sprinkled some holy water upon it, and only in witnessing that did Wulfgar remember Brunner's tale of his visit here and the gruesome fate of the dwarf's companions. Catti Bree was making sure that this one never could rise in undeath, it seemed, though many months had passed since the drow vampires had slain her. Wulfgar's gaze went to Brunner, the dwarf moving slowly, almost as if in a trance, toward the great throne on the raised dais, perhaps a score of long strides from the front wall. With a last glance at the other three and a cursory scan of the large chamber, the barbarian hustled to join his adoptive father.
"The throne of the dwarven gods," Brunner explained when Wulfgar arrived.
The dwarf was rubbing the burnished arm of the magnificent seat, stroking it as if it was a living being.
"Thrice have I sat on it, twice to my blessing, and once to be thrown aside."
"Thrown aside?"
"Aye," Brunner admitted, looking back at him. "When I was thinking of abandoning our quest and putting aside me oath to me girl's goddess, I wasn't heading for Icewind Dale, boy, but heading home."
"Abandoning Drizzt, you mean?"
Wulfgar said as the other three walked up.
"Aye,"
Brunner said.
"I forgot me word, and convinced meself that I was thinking right in turning aside the quest.